Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Most Americans are deeply disturbed about the seriousness of the crime problem in the United States, as evidenced to some extent by their voting record in the latest presidential election. I would not seek to minimize the enormity of our crime situation, but compared to many ancient cities, American cities are in pretty good shape. Most of the cities in Ezekiel's day were vulnerable to attack from marauding bands. These criminal elements wandered from city to city, killing, looting, burning. It is difficult to imagine a more dreadful situation. If the cities were large enough and affluent enough, they had protective walls around them. At night, the people would go inside the city, close the doors, and place watchmen on the walls to warn them when danger was imminent. In addition, during the day when farmers were working outside the city walls, they needed warning from these bands of brigands. A watchman was stationed at strategic positions along the walls so he could sound the trumpet to warn the citizens of an approaching army. That would give the soldiers time to prepare to ward off the enemy. If the watchman failed to warn, the people who perished were his responsibility. Their blood was on his hands. If the people failed to heed the warning, their blood was on their own heads. There are many similarities between these ancient watchmen on the walls of the cities of Palestine and the watchmen that God has appointed in every generation to watch for the souls of His people. Whatever these men happen to be called, prophets, priests, preachers, elders, parents, God has always provided watchmen for His people. Because of the fearful responsibility of the watchman for those for whom he watches, please think with me today on the topic, Watchmen, Sound the Trumpet. Noah was a watchman to his generation. The Genesis account says of the condition in the days of Noah, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Genesis 6:5, 11 and 12. Because of the grievous sin which existed on God's good earth, He determined to destroy sinful men. "And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made him. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And, behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Genesis 6, 6 and 7 and 13. But God would not destroy the earth without giving sinful man warning. When God has determined in His own mind to bring punishment on men, He always raises up the appropriate people to warn those who are affected by His decision. In the situation before the flood, God found a man to preach to these sinful people. His name was Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:8. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Genesis 6:9. God appointed Noah to preach to his generation so that they would not be destroyed. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5. The Hebrew writer says concerning Noah, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11:7. It is unfortunate that Noah's long years of preaching did not lead the people of his day to turn from their wickedness, so that they might be spared the horrible death that they brought upon themselves. But the Bible does not place the blame on Noah for the destruction wrought by the flood. He was faithful in his proclamation of God's word. But the people were so intent upon following their own inclinations that his preaching had very little effect. Noah did not become discouraged. He did not quit, though he may have been tempted to do so. He kept right on preaching and warning until God sent the flood to cleanse the earth of its violence and rebellion. Noah warned, but the people paid no attention. Their blood was upon their own heads. The Old Testament reveals that Moses was a watchman, a spokesman, or a mouth for God. He was somewhat reluctant to be a prophet, but he was a great prophet nevertheless. When God selected Moses to become a prophet, Moses protested that he was not adequate for the work. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Exodus 4:10. The Lord would not take no for an answer. So the Lord said unto him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Exodus 4:11-12. Moses responded to the Lord's charge, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Exodus 4:13. Why could not Moses understand that God had chosen him to be a prophet? Because he thought Moses was the best man for the job. Why did Moses keep objecting to the Lord's will in this matter? God became angry and asked Moses, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to you instead of a mouth, and you shall be to him instead of God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, wherewith you shall do signs. Exodus 4:14-17. Every prophet, including Moses, was under divine impulse to speak the very words which God had revealed to him. God said to Moses, in instituting the office of the prophet, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you shall say in your heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Deuteronomy 18:18-22. The prophet often spoke of past events. He sometimes predicted the future. But his main responsibility was to address the problems and challenges of his own generation. The word prophet means one who speaks for God. Whether he is talking of the past, or the present, or the future, he had to warn his generation of the great dangers they faced. We all know that Moses was such a prophet. The book of Hebrews tells us that Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Hebrews 3:5. His warning saved the children of Israel from many heartaches and from much backsliding. The prophet Jeremiah was also a spokesman for God. God ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet to all the nations. Jeremiah 1:5. Like Moses, Jeremiah objected to the Lord's calling him into his service. The prophet said to the Lord, "O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Jeremiah 1:6. The Lord rebuked Jeremiah for saying he was a child, and instructed him to go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 1:7-8. The Lord God touched the mouth of the prophet and told him, "I have put my words in your mouth." Jeremiah 1:9. God outlined the work he wanted Jeremiah to do. "See, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant." Jeremiah 1:10. The duty of the prophet was to root out and to destroy every false way. God revealed to Jeremiah that sin has to be removed before righteousness could take root and grow. But the work of rooting out, pulling down, destroying, and throwing down was not adequate. The prophet was to build and to plant. The language in Paul's charge to Timothy is very different, but the message is the same. Preach the word, the instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. The Lord God of heaven was deeply concerned for the safety and the welfare of his people. He said to them, "Stand you in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." Jeremiah 6:16. When God's people are so deliberately defiant, what does God do for them? God had set a watchman over them and urged them to hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, "We will not hearken. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among you. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Jeremiah 6:17-19. The prophets of God often told the Israelites that their burnt offerings and other ceremonial observances would not substitute for righteousness. Jeremiah was no exception to that rule. The prophet asks, "To what purpose comes there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country?" The prophet answers his own question, "Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish." Jeremiah 6:20-21. The kind of preaching Jeremiah is discussing does not find much endorsement in most modern religious groups. We do not want to hear negative ideas. We want positive preaching, as we define positive preaching. the so-called positive preaching which is being done in many churches, including some churches of Christ, sounds far more like Dr. Norman Vincent Peale than it does Jeremiah or the Apostle Paul. Are we going to allow the church and the nation to perish for lack of faithful watchmen like Noah, Moses, and Jeremiah? We begin our lesson today with a reference to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet of the exile and preached just a few years after the prophet Jeremiah. His writings are probably not so well known as are the books of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Daniel. But his book is challenging and stimulating. The primary burden of Ezekiel's prophecy was to the nation of Israel. God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, go, get you unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For you are not sent to a people of strange speech, and of an hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have hearkened unto you. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto you, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your foreheads strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto you, receive into your heart, and to hear with your ears. Ezekiel 3:4-10. The Lord had informed the prophet concerning the seriousness and the difficulty of his assignment. But he tells him to go, get you to them of the captivity, unto the children of your people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up, and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Ezekiel 3:11-14. This faithful prophet of God came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river Kibar, and sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, You shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Ezekiel 3:15-18. The God of heaven had given the Jews his law to guide them in their relationship to him and to one another. When they transgressed that law, they were in danger of being punished, even destroyed from off the face of the earth. It was the duty of the prophet to tell the people of their wickedness and to warn them that God would punish them. The great prophets of the Old Testament, Elijah, Micaiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, did not hesitate to proclaim God's dissatisfaction with Israel's rebellion against the law of God. God said to Ezekiel, When I tell you that the wicked are going to die, and you fail to give them warning to save their lives, and then they're going to die, can you understand the enormous responsibility of God's watchmen, whoever they are, preachers, parents, teachers? The souls of men are in our hands, figuratively speaking. when the wicked are turning their backs on God Almighty. Their fate, to some extent, is in the hands of preachers and teachers and elders. Will the watchmen of our generation be as faithful as were the great watchmen of the Old Testament? My preacher friend, do you and I want God to hold us accountable for failure to warn the people of our day? The little sermonettes that are being preached from many pulpits are not going to serve the cause of righteousness. We cannot preach what some have designated positive Christianity and prevent men's being lost eternally. We cannot dwell on mental health and a positive attitude and be the kind of watchman God wants for this day and age and for every day and age. I'm not denying that preachers ought to discuss mental health and a positive attitude, but there is more to preaching the gospel and being a watchman on the walls of Zion than that. We must warn of the dangers of preaching false doctrine. Please notice how Peter preached to his audience. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Peter 2, 1-3. How long has it been since you heard that kind of preaching from your pulpit? Do we need that kind of preaching in our day? My friends, you know we do. How else are we going to counteract the cults, the New Age movement, the secular humanists, the atheists, and other false teachers? We know that doctrinal error and moral transgressions are rampant in our generation. How can we stand in our pulpits and talk about positive thinking when millions are being seduced by various cults and by the secular humanists? Do we think God will forget about our indifference to these great evils? The wicked are dying without God, and we are playing at religion. We are building big church buildings, big gymnasiums, and spending millions on peripheral matters, and letting the wicked die without any hope. But every preacher knows that he can warn and beg and urge, and some people will continue on their downward path to eternal destruction. We may even reason, it will do no good to preach to people like that. They are determined to be lost, and nothing can be done about it. It is unfortunate that in many cases nothing can be done about it. But dear friends, the Lord has not told us that we are responsible for the results. We are duty-bound to do God's bidding. The results are not within our control. God said to Ezekiel, "Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul." Ezekiel 3:19. Every preacher has had the experience of preaching to people, working with them, praying with and for them, and then seeing them continue in their rebellion against God. We may be tempted to become discouraged and cease working with such people. But that kind of hearer has been in existence since the beginning of time. Please keep in mind that Noah preached his heart out for many, many years and made little imprint on his generation. Isaiah and Jeremiah were probably not listed in the top 10 of the most successful prophets in Israel. Jesus Christ was totally faithful in his proclamation of the kingdom of God, but did not convert the masses. We cannot quit as long as the breath of life is in us. "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel," Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Jeremiah became discouraged because he seemed to be having little impact among his people. Please listen to the prophet. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary of forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah 20:9. We cannot quit preaching just because most people will not listen. We cannot quit preaching if nobody listens. But there are pleasant and rewarding aspects of preaching or of being a watchman. If we warn the wicked man and he turns from his wickedness, we have saved a soul from death and hidden a multitude of sins. James 5:19-20. Ezekiel said, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, you have delivered your soul." Ezekiel 3:21. God does not want anybody to be lost. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Ezekiel was told to say to the Israelites, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Ezekiel 33:11. What does all of this mean for preachers and other watchmen in our generation? It means, as the lawyers say, that we must preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It means that we must oppose all error, whether it is doctrinal error or moral error. We cannot tickle the ears of the congregation. Paul said concerning certain hearers, they will turn away from the truth and be turned to fables. It means that we as preachers must watch, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. If we are to be free from the blood of all men, we must not shun to declare the whole counsel of God. Acts 20:26-27. But preachers of the gospel and elders of the church are not the only watchmen that God has appointed over his people. Parents and others who work with young people are also watchmen. The men and women who stand before classes in our public school rooms and in the Christian college classrooms have a responsibility of helping young people to learn of the dangers of our day. We must warn about secular humanism, hedonism, drug and alcohol abuse, and many other evils. Do you honestly think God will hold us guiltless if we do not? My friends, we thank you for listening today. Our lesson next Lord's Day, pure and undefiled religion. Please be listening at that time. Until then, may God bless you.